whose Anandam face. Makara Kundala Charukarna, decorated with earrings resembling sharks, and by beautiful ears. Rajat, brilliantly decorated. Kapola, forehead. Suvagam, declaring all opulences. Savilasahasam, with smiles of enjoyment. Nitya Utsavam, whenever one sees him, one feels festive. Na tatripuhu, they could not be satisfied. Drishabihi, by seeing the form of the Lord. Bibanjaha, as if drinking through the eyes. Naryaha, all the women of Vrindavana. Naraha, all the male devotees. Cha, also. Mudataha, fully satisfied. Kupitaha, angry. Nimihe, the moment they are disturbed by the blinking of the eyes. Cha, also. So translation, Krishna's face is decorated with ornaments such as earrings resembling sharks. His ears are beautiful, his cheeks are brilliant, and his smiling attractive to everyone. Whoever sees Krishna sees a festival. His face and body are fully satisfying for everyone to see, but the devotees are angry at the Creator for the disturbance caused by the momentary blinking of their eyes. So you can repeat. Krishna's face is decorated with ornaments.
Krishna's face is decorated with ornaments.
Such as earrings resembling sharks.
Such as earrings resembling sharks.
His ears are beautiful.
His ears are beautiful.
His cheeks brilliant.
His cheeks brilliant.
And is smiling attractive to everyone.
And is smiling attractive to everyone.
Whoever sees Lord Krishna,
sees
a festival.
Sees a festival.
His face and body are fully satisfying
for everyone to see.
But the devotees are angry
at
the Creator for the disturbance caused by the momentary blinking of their eyes. As stated by the Lord Himself in the Bhagavad Gita, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Śrīla Prabhupāda Śrīla Prabhupāda Ki Jai. As stated by the Lord Himself in the Bhagavad Gita in the 7th chapter, text 3. Manushānam saha saishu kaschid yatati siddhāye yatatam api siddhānam kaschin mām veti tatvataha. Out of many thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection. And of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. Unless one is qualified to understand Krishna, one cannot appreciate the presence of Krishna on earth. Among the Bhojas, Vrishnis, Andakas, Pandavas, and many other kings intimately related with Krishna, the intimate relationship between Krishna and the inhabitants of Vrindavan is especially to be noted. That relationship is described in this verse by the words Nityotsavam na tachapur trishibi bivam yaha. The inhabitants of Vrindavan, especially such as the cowboys, the cows, the calves, the gopis, and Krishna's father and mother, were never fully satisfied, although they saw Krishna's beautiful features constantly. Seeing Krishna is described here as Nitya Utsava, a daily festival. The inhabitants of Vrindavan saw Krishna almost every moment, but when Krishna left the village for the pasturing grounds, where he tended the cows and calves, the gopis were very much afflicted because they saw Krishna walking on the sand and thought that Krishna's lotus feet, which they dared not place on their breasts because they thought their breasts not soft enough, were being pierced by broken chips of stone. By even thinking of this, the gopis were affected, and they cried at home. These gopis, who were therefore the exalted friends of Krishna, saw Krishna constantly, but because their eyelids disturbed their vision of Krishna, the gopis condemned the creator, Lord Brahma. Therefore, the beauty of Krishna, especially the beauty of his face, is described here. At the end of the ninth canto, in the 24th chapter, we find a hint of Krishna's beauty. Now we are proceeding to the 10th canto, which is considered Krishna's head. The entire Srimad Bhagavat Purana is the embodiment of Krishna's form, and the 10th canto is his face. This verse gives a hint how beautiful his face is. Krishna's smiling face with its cheeks, his lips, his ornaments in his ears, his chewing of betel nuts, all this was minutely observed by the gopis, who thus enjoyed transcendental bliss, so much so that they were never fully satisfied to see Krishna's face, but instead condemned the creator of the body for making eyelids that obstructed their vision. The beauty of Krishna's face was therefore much more appreciated by the gopis than by his friends, the cowherd boys, or even by Yashoda Mata, who was also interested in decorating the face of Krishna. Yashananam makarakunda charukarna prajat kapola subagam sovilasahasam nityodzavam natatrapur jashibir bibwandyo naro Naryo narascha mudita kupita nimoscho. Okay. So, Om Ganat Miranda Shah, Gananjana Shlakaya Chaksur and Meditan Tasmai Shigurave Namaha. So, it's very interesting. Nimesh, which is here, is like Chaktusha Pavishayatam Shunyayatam Jagat Savram Govinda Vira Enyame Jugayatam Nimishena. So, Nimishena, that means like a instant, basically this is the meaning of the word, like an instant, feeling yourself, Govinda, feeling your separation, an instant is Yugayatam, is like a whole Yuga cycle. Or like Prabhupada translates it, 12 years or more. And the whole world is void. Void in your absence. So this is the mood of the devotees of the Lord, culminating, of course, in the attraction that the gopis have for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I was reading last night in the Nectar Devotion about the symptoms of those in the neutral stage of devotional service. As we know, there's five different rasas or tastes in devotional service. There's a Shantaras, Dasharas, Saktiras, Vatsalyaras, and finally Madhuryaras. And the Shantaras is quite interesting. And sometimes some acharyas describe that the Shantaras is not quite devotional service, and others describe it as like the beginning stage of devotional service. And it's described by Srila Rupa Goswami that one must have the Shanta Rasa in order to approach devotional service, and he quotes from the Bhagavad Gita, Brahmabhuta Prasanananda Shoshati Kangshati Samaksarve Shubhuteshu. So, of course, that verse says, the one who's on the Brahman platform, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma, he becomes happy. His soul becomes happy, prasanatma, and he's neither hankering nor lamenting. And then he becomes, the acharyas sometimes translate that he becomes ready to perform devotional service. Samat sarveshu bhuteshu. Mad bhaktim, he becomes a devotee at that particular point. So, on that particular platform in relationship to this verse, they're not feeling that same sort of intense separation from Krishna. In fact, when they do see Krishna, as described, a particular example, the four Kumaras, they become happy and they feel relieved, but they don't feel this intense mood that the gopis and the other residents of Vrindavan do. So, of course, all the residents of Vrindavan, when Krishna is in the pasturing ground, as Prabhupada describes here, are stunned. And that was brought out in the story of Gopakumara. When Gopakumara goes back to the spiritual world for the first time, and he's looking for Krishna, and he sees all the residents of Vrindavan, they're just like standing there, like, and they won't even speak to him. And not because they have bad manners or anything like that. It's just because they're just like so much absorbed in the purva ras. Purva means before. Basically, they're waiting for Krishna to come. And they're just looking out there. And they don't want to be disturbed. Just like when one's expecting something at any minute, you know, in an intense way. Then, even if someone talks to you, let's say if you're expecting an important phone call, someone may talk to you, you don't even hear them. Because it's something's coming, it's so super important. So that means that devotional service is ever fresh. And for ourselves, we have this particular propensity of what? Been there, seen it, done it. Just like, for example, in an ordinary household situation where the husband's coming home from work, I mean maybe for the first month or something like that, the wife is waiting expectantly at the door for him to come, and then after a while, you know, seen it, done it, in other words, it becomes dull or dry after some time. Of course, I'm just assuming that because I haven't been a wife and I haven't been standing at the door. So, but the devotees, it's ever fresh. Every day is ever fresh. And they're not thinking, well, we've seen this before. You know, we've been through this before. And actually, one of the reasons it's ever fresh is the devotees, under the influence of Yogamaya, they actually forget, just like it's described, that in the spiritual world, Krishna appears to go to Mathura sometimes. This is the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. It appears that Akrura is taken into a Mathura, and then he comes back. And then that same pastime may occur in a few days or, you know, in a short time from that. And then he comes back again. And nobody's thinking about, well, that happened before. Now that's Yogamaya, but actually it's because of the intense emotions involved, love of Krishna. I mean, it's extremely intense, so intense that one forgets about everything past, present, future. In fact, there's always eternal present in the spiritual world. That's how intense it is. And here we find that the gopis are cursing Lord Brahma because it's too intense for them to not see Krishna when the eyes blink. Also, there's the story that the gopis prayed that they would have eyes like fish. They were envious of the fish because the fish don't have eyelids. If you notice that, you see a fish swimming around, so that they close their eyes and go to sleep at night. You know, they always keep their eyes open. So this is the love the devotees have for Krishna. And one can say, yes, of course, it's because of Krishna's attractiveness, superlative beauty, but it's out of love of Krishna. I mean, there's one thing, it's not that they're simply trying to enjoy, they're not trying to enjoy Krishna. by looking at it. Just like sometimes we see something very beautiful and we enjoy looking at it. I mean, like this morning, someone sent me a picture of a mountain. Anyway, it was Mayapur. He's in Central America right now, Costa Rica. Very beautiful country. So he sent me a picture of a mountain, and you know, just, oh, it's so beautiful. And I was looking at it for half a second. But, you know, it is beautiful. I mean, it's Krishna's creation. You know, all splendid, wonderful things spring from but a spark of Krishna's energy, as Krishna says in the Gita. It is beautiful. But when I'm looking at it, I'm not thinking, let me serve it. You know, so that's the difference. So when the gopis are looking at Krishna, when the coward boys are looking at Krishna, when Mother Yashoda is looking at Krishna, when Krishna's servants are looking at Krishna, it inspires them to serve. And so Krishna, as we've described before in terms of the bhavas, that's an alamba, alambana. It inspires them to serve. And then you have that story of Daruka, who is fanning Krishna, who becomes attracted to Krishna's beauty while he's fanning Krishna, and he becomes so ecstatic that his, you know, there's tears from his eyes and he's shivering, and he curses that. He curses the symptoms of ecstasy or the symptoms of love because they're interfering with his properly serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we have to be careful of not projecting our mundane conception, you know, that Krishna's beautiful, all right. That's there in Shantaras, yes. That's true. Shantaras is devoid of any servitude. Yes, Krishna's beautiful, you know. And anyway, I was reading yesterday, they described about the Shantaras. Some of the symptoms of Shantaras are drooling at the mouth or dancing in ecstasy. And all those things, you know, which is good when they see Krishna, of course. We're not talking about Shantaras in terms of Mayavadi conception, but, you know, just appreciating the beauty of Krishna. You know, appreciating how wonderful, how great Krishna is. But there's not that service attitude. Whereas in the case of the gopis, coward boys, Yashodamayi, etc., they're just impelled by service. It's a vibhav that impels them to serve Krishna. So the beauty, it's more than just the appreciation of beauty. It's the desire to serve when they see Krishna like this. So one thing I wanted to do is we were reading about the descriptions of Krishna's attractiveness yesterday from the Nectar of Devotion. And since this verse continues that particular description, I want to continue with reading the Nectar of Devotion from the chapter about the qualities of Krishna. Yesterday we finished the ninth quality, and now today we can start reading the tenth quality and read about Srila Prabhupada's descriptions of the attractiveness of Krishna. So, anyway, reading from Nectar of Devotion, the qualities of Sri Krishna, number 10, fluent. Because hearing these qualities, of course, we become attracted to Krishna. These become vibhavas for us. And these qualities, or hearing about these qualities, and the attraction we get from hearing about these qualities should inspire us to serve Krishna. And, of course, the best service we can do is the glorification of Krishna, or assisting those who are glorifying Krishna. So 10th is fluent. A person who can speak meaningful words and with all politeness and good qualities is called Vava Duka, or fluent. There's a nice statement in Srimad Bhagavatam regarding Krishna speaking politely. When Krishna politely bade his father, Nanda Maharaj, to stop the ritualistic offering of sacrifice to the rain god Indra, a wife of one village coward man became captivated. She later thus described the speaking of Krishna to her friends. Krishna was speaking to his father so politely and gently that it was as if he were pouring nectar into the ears of all present there. after hearing such sweet words from Krishna, who will not be attracted to him? So Krishna's speech, which contains all good qualities in the universe, is described in the following statement by Uddhava. The words of Krishna are so attractive that they can immediately change the heart of even his opponent. His words can immediately solve all of the questions and problems of the world. Although he does not speak very long, each and every word from his mouth contains volumes of meaning. These speeches of Krishna are very pleasing to the heart. Oh, you have it there. It's nice. So, anyway, the devotees can read along with this. Highly learned. It's important to hear about these qualities of Krishna. When a person is highly learned, and acts strictly on moral principles, he is called highly learned. A person conversant in different departments of knowledge is called educated. And because he acts on moral principles, he is called morally stout. Together, these two factors constitute learning. Krishna's receiving education from Sandipani Muni is described by Sri Narada Muni as follows. In the beginning, Lord Brahma and others are like clouds of evaporated water from the great ocean of Krishna. In other words, Brahma first received the Vedic education from Krishna as the clouds receive water from the ocean. That Vedic education, or instruction, which was spoken by Brahma to the world, was then reposed upon the mountain of Sandipani Muni. Sandipani Muni's instructions to Krishna are like a reservoir of water on the mountains, which flows as a river and goes again to mix with the source, the ocean of Krishna. To be more clear, the idea is that Krishna actually cannot be instructed by anyone, just as the ocean does not receive water from any source but itself. It only appears that the rivers are pouring water into the ocean. So it is clear that Brahma received his education from Krishna, and from Brahma via the disciplic succession, this Vedic instruction was distributed. Sandipani Muni is likened to the river which is flowing down again to that same original ocean of Krishna. The Siddhas, the inhabitants of Siddhaloka, were all born with fully developed mystic powers, and the Charanas, the inhabitants of a similar planet, pray to Krishna as follows. My dear Lord Govinda, the goddess of learning, is decorated with 14 kinds of educational ornaments. Her intelligence is all-pervading within the four departments of the Vedas. Her attention is always on the law books given by the great sages like Manu. And she is apparelled in six kinds of expert knowledge, namely Vedic evidence, grammar, astrology, rhetoric, vocabulary, and logic. Her constant friends are the supplements of the Vedas, the Puranas, and she is decorated with the final conclusion of all education. And now she has acquired an opportunity to sit with you as a class friend in school, and she is now engaged in your service. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, does not require any education, but he gives a chance to the goddess of learning to serve him. Being self-sufficient, Krishna does not require the service of any living entity, although he has many devotees. It is because Krishna is so kind and merciful that he gives everyone the opportunity to serve him as though he required the service of his devotees. Regarding his moral principles, it is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam that Krishna is ruling over Vrindavan as death personified to the thieves, as pleasing bliss to the pious, as the most beautiful cupid to the young girls, and the most munificent personality to the poor men. He is as refreshing as the full moon to his friends and to his opponents. He is the annihilating fire generated from Lord Shiva. Krishna is therefore the most perfect moralist in his reciprocal dealings with different kinds of persons. When he is death personified to the thieves, it is not that he is without moral principles or that he is cruel. He is still kind because to punish thieves with death is to exhibit the highest quality of moral principles. In Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna says that he deals with different kinds of persons according to their dealings with him. Krishna's dealings with devotees and with non-devotees, although different, are equally good. Because Krishna is all good, his dealings with everyone are always good. Highly intelligent. A man is called intelligent if he has a sharp memory and fine discretion. As far as Krishna's memory is concerned, it is said that when he was studying in the school of Sandipani Muni in Avantipura, he showed such a sharp memory that by once taking instructions from the teacher, he immediately became perfect in any subject. Actually, his going to the school of Sandipani Muni was to show the people of the world that however great or ingenious one may be, he must go to higher authorities for general education. However great one may be, he must accept a teacher or a spiritual master. Of course, it's described that Krishna studied in Sandipani Muni's ashram for 64 days. And in those 64 days, he learned all the arts. And some of them were like decorating the body. Other ones were like speaking the different languages. Others were like hypnotism he learned. He actually learned hypnotism. That's described in there. Prabhupada in the Krishna book. So he just, in other words, how to influence others' minds and control other people's minds. So, 64 days. Krishna's fine discretion was exhibited when he was fighting with the untouchable king who attacked the city of Mathura. According to Vedic rites, those who are untouchable and not to be touched by the Kshatriya king is not even for killing. Therefore, when the untouchable king seized the city of Mathura, Krishna did not think it wise to kill him directly with his own hand. Still, the king had to be killed, and therefore Krishna decided with fine discretion that he would flee from the battlefield so that the untouchable king would chase him. He could then lead the king to the mountain where Muchukunda was lying asleep. Muchukunda had received a benediction from Kartikeya to the effect that when he woke from his sleep, whomever he might see would at once be burnt to ashes. Therefore, Krishna thought it wise to lead the untouchable king to that cave so that the king's presence would awaken Muchukunda and he would at once be burnt to ashes. That's Kaliyavana, in case you didn't know. Genius, 13. A person is called a genius when he can refute any opposing element, any kind of opposing element, with newer and newer arguments. In this connection, there is a statement in Pudyavali which contains the following conversation between Krishna and Radha. One morning when Krishna came to Radha, Radha asked him, "My dear Keshava, where's your vasa at present?" The Sanskrit word vasa has three meanings. One meaning is residence, one meaning is fragrance, and the other meaning is dress. Actually, Radharani inquired from Krishna, "Where's your dress?" But Krishna took the meaning as residence, and he replied to Radharani, "My dear captivated one, at the present moment, my residence is in your beautiful eyes." To this, Radharani replied, "My dear boy, I did not ask you about your residence. I inquired about your dress." Krishna then took the meaning of vasa as fragrance and said, "My dear fortunate one, I have just assumed this fragrance in order to be associated with your body." Srimati Radharani again inquired from Krishna, "Where did you pass your night?" The exact Sanskrit word used in this connection was yaminyam means at night. And ushitaha means past. Krishna, however, divided the word yamin yam ushitaha into two separate words, namely yamin ya and mushitaha. By dividing this word into two, it came out to mean that he was kidnapped by yamini, or night. Krishna therefore replied to Radharani, "My dear Radharani, is it possible that night can kidnap me?" In this way, he was answering all the questions of Radharani so cunningly that he gladdened the dearest of the gopis. 14. Artistic. One who can talk and dress himself very artistically is called vidagya. This exemplary characteristic was visible in the personality of Sri Krishna. It is spoken of by Radharani as follows: "My dear friend, just see how Krishna has nicely composed songs and how he dances and speaks funny words and plays on his flute, wearing such nice garlands. He has dressed himself in such an enchanting way as though he had defeated all kinds of players at the chessboard. He lives wonderfully at the topmost height of artistic craftsmanship." Clever. 15. "A person who can perform various types of work at once is called clever. In this connection, one of the gopis said, 'My dear friends, just see the clever activities of Sri Krishna. He has composed nice songs about the coward boys and is pleasing the cows. By the movement of his eyes, he is pleasing the gopis, and at the same time, he is fighting with demons like Aristasura. In this way, he is sitting with different living entities in different ways, and he is thoroughly enjoying the situation.'" 16, expert. "A person who can quickly execute a difficult, very difficult task is called expert. About the expertise of Krishna, there is a statement in the 10th canto, 59th chapter, verse 17 of Srimad Bhagavatam, wherein Sukadeva Goswami tells Maharaj Parikshit, 'O best of the Kurus, Sri Krishna cut to pieces all the different weapons used by different fighters. Formerly, fighting was done by releasing different kinds of arrows. One party would release a certain arrow, and the other party had to defeat it by counteracting it with another arrow. For example, one party might release an arrow which would cause water to pour from the sky, and to counteract this, the opposing party would have to release an arrow which could immediately turn the water into clouds. So from this statement, it appears that Krishna was very expert in counteracting the enemy's arrows. Similarly, at the Rasa dance, each and every gopi requested that Krishna individually become her partner. And Krishna immediately expanded himself into so many Krishnas in order to be coupled with each and every gopi. The result was that each gopi found Krishna by her side." Grateful. "Any person who is conscious of his friend's beneficent activities and never forgets his service is called grateful. In the Mahabharata, Krishna says, 'When I was away from Draupadi, she cried with the words, "Hey, Govinda, this call for me has put me in her debt, and that indebtedness is gradually increasing in my heart." This statement by Krishna gives evidence of how one can please the Supreme Lord simply by addressing him, "Hey Krishna, hey Govinda." The Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, is also simply an address to the Lord and his energy. So to anyone who is constantly engaged in addressing the Lord and his energy, we can imagine how much the Supreme Lord is obliged. It is impossible for the Lord to ever forget such a devotee. It is clearly stated in this verse that anyone who addresses the Lord immediately attracts the attention of the Lord, who always remains obliged to him. So that's all we have time for today. So any quick questions? We got about 10 seconds. Yes?
I know somebody went down. They went to the, you had mentioned they went to the spiritual world. But it's like Hiranyakashipu. He wasn't pure. I mean, this guy was killing everybody. And then Krishna was killing him. The demigods couldn't. How is it that he was so demonic inside of his soul? And then he went to that spirit of war.
Well, the answer was that he was actually one of two great devotees, this Jaya and Vijay, who were cursed to come down to the material world so the Lord could enjoy fighting with an opponent who was suitably qualified, suitably demoniac. So, anyway, that's how he went to the spiritual world. So he was actually a devotee. He was acting in that capacity to please the Lord.
So he rose up to a higher spiritual level.
He was always on that high spiritual level. But by the influence of Yogamaya, Krishna's internal potency, he forgot his position.